A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 9. Jetisse. Bospity was hot, desolate, and took up entirely too much of Din's time. True to his prediction in Mos Eisley, Din did need a gunner's help before he made it planetside. Din and his passengers got through hyperspace okay once they left Tatooine, but as soon as the Kirik fly dropped out into sublight over Bospity, a gang of slave hunters pinged them and came sniffing around. Din quickly learned how the fly handled in a dogfight. His temporary co-pilot was twitchy but competent. She introduced herself as Pyrrha Windrunner, and this particular freedom run was not her first. Her experience in the gunner's seat came firsthand. Between Din's piloting and Pyrrha's trigger finger, the fly made planetfall in decent shape. The hunters might have been good at finding terrified people, might have even been good at catching terrified people, but they weren't up to scrapping over Bospity with Din. Pyrrha made short work of them. The fly's shields held, more or less, and the worst damage Din could feel was a slight wobble in her nose as the fly eased down through Bospity's wet, heavy atmosphere and touched the surface. Din had only intended to drop his passengers off in the shell of an old Separatist base, its roof cracked open and its sides scored by blaster fire, but Pyrrha managed to talk him into helping her make sure that the base was secure first. Din could hardly count the job as finished if he dropped a bunch of defenseless people off to immediately get eaten by the local wildlife or recaptured by slavers, after all. And somehow that turned into a 3-day slog through a series of abandoned bases, towering gravestones, and sticky humidity, while Din tried to protect his charges from a particularly stubborn band of Trandoshan slave hunters. Bospity didn't have any wildlife, at least none that wanted to eat an irritable Mandalorian and a few stringy escaped slaves. Din would take his victories, as small as they were, if it meant he didn't have to feed off Trandoshans and Gundarks. Trandoshans weren't especially skilled hunters in Din's experience. They relied too much on their sense of smell. But they were tenacious, and picking them off took some time. By the time the last Trandoshan had been killed and Pyrrha declared Bospity safe enough to radio an intermediary for the next step in her people's journey, Din's internal climate controls had busted out, corroded by the humidity, and he was ready to leave Bospity and never come back. He stayed long enough to make sure that Pyrrha's next bantha back made it planetside, then climbed back into the fly, got her into hyperspace aimed at a moon called Yavin 4, wherever that was, and spent the next several hours stripped down to his underclothes, scrubbing every inch of his Beskar and his Kuta. Bospity had unsettled Din. It was an entire planet full of graves. The native species, whoever they'd been, had died out a long time ago. The Separatist bases had been just as bombed out as the Rebellion and Republic bases. The planet had been covered in monoliths and bones. It reminded me of Mandalore, Din thought, inspecting the underside of his cuirass back on the fly. He'd taken each individual piece of wiring out, dried it, and returned it to its place. The delicate work cramped his fingers. Mandalore had been a lot like Bospity, though less green. Bospity was verdant and lush, Mandalore had been colorless and dry. But the feel of both the planets had been the same. Dead worlds, a long stretch of silence and nothing else. Now that Din wasn't on Tatooine anymore, throwing himself headlong into whatever work he could get, Din found himself thinking about Mandalore more often than not. He couldn't help it. He was still bound to Bo-Katan Kryze's quest, and even if Din himself knew that he was Darmanda, no one else seemed to. It was dishonest to keep pretending. Din had broken his creed. By the very words he'd sworn when he first put on a helmet, he wasn't Mandalorian anymore. That he kept putting his armor back on, kept letting others call him Mando, was disgusting. Cowardly. But why doesn't anyone else know that? The confusion of non-Mandalorians, Din understood. It wasn't like he'd gone around spouting off the tenets of the creed. People like Cobb Vanth and Fennec Shand had no way of knowing what Din had sworn and how he'd broken it. Mandalorians, at least Din's kind of Mandalorians, didn't share their faith or culture with outsiders. It was too dangerous. Non-Mandalorians wouldn't know. But Bo-Katan should. She should know, and she still didn't care that Din had broken the creed. Neither did her Talvore. Fett didn't care. Fett himself had said that he hadn't sworn to the creed, but he still wore the armor and carried around his father's name, broadcasting to the galaxy that he still considered himself Mandalorian. Kreese was from Mandalore, if that didn't make her Mandalorian, what did? She had the armor, the language, the history. She should know that Din had broken his creed. So why doesn't she act like she knows? I'm too old for this, Din thought, setting his cuirass aside. He pressed his knuckles to his forehead, pushing back against the headache that was building there. He kept picking at those thoughts like they were rusted wires, like if he fiddled with them enough, he could make things work again. The creed wasn't like that. It wasn't a piece of armor that could be reforged or a broken circuit that could be rewired. It was or it wasn't. It wasn't something that Din could put back together. It's not something that I should even try to put back together. The most honorable thing to do would be to take his Beskar, find a covert, and turn it over to that covert's Alor. Then Din was supposed to leave and never come back. He had skills. He would be able to make a living, to feed himself, at least. He could probably even keep working as a hunter. He just couldn't be a Mandalorian hunter anymore. He couldn't be Beroya anymore. Fett would keep me on, Din thought. Fett might not want to if he cared about honor much, but he would. He didn't have many other allies. He'd told Din that himself. Maybe his tribe had a different creed when he had one. Maybe being Mandalorian meant something different to Fett, and he wouldn't care that Din had become Darmanda. Fett and Fennec got along after all, and Fennec wasn't the type to swear the creed. Din would have to ask Fett when he got back. He was going back. Din wasn't stupid. He knew what Fett had done, sending Din off with a fast ship and a new job. He was giving Din a way out. With the fly, Din could go anywhere. He didn't have to go back to Tatooine at all. But Din wasn't a wild Anuba to be nursed back to health, or whatever it was that Fett thought he had done with Din, and then sent back to the sands. Din was a warrior, and he was a warrior who kept his word. Well, he thought, half bitterly, turning back to the problem at hand. Most of my word, anyway. He'd broken the creed, but that didn't mean he had to break his agreement with Fett. Din was going back to Tatooine once he'd settled his business with Luke Skywalker and the Jedi. Something, trepidation or anticipation, Din couldn't be sure, prickled underneath Din's skin. His back throbbed. 3 days on Boss Pity hadn't given his shoulders much time to heal. He'd barely slept. Of the escapees, only Pyrrha had been sharp enough for Din to trust her with the other watch, so they'd traded off 2 or 3 hour shifts, looking over the rest and catching sleep where they could. He hadn't eaten much, either. The fly'd come stocked with standard hyperspace rations, but the trip hadn't ever been planned as a multi-cycle slog, and some of Din's passengers had been so skinny that he'd given up most of his share of the rations anyway. His appetite, which had come back a little on Tatooine, had shriveled back up when confronted with the stink of Trandoshans and the bland texture of the ration bars. Between that and the few hard knocks Din had taken on Boss Pity, he'd actually picked up a few new bruises instead of healed the ones he already had. He'd given Pyrrha the fly's medkit, too. None of her people had armor. The bruises on his chest and side just plain hurt, in a rote, mundane sort of way. The bruises on his back hurt, too, but when Din set his kit aside and rolled them, experimentally, a different sensation entirely flooded his nerves. Satisfaction. Din was familiar enough with the concept. A successful hunt, a handful of credits to bring back to feed his covert, a victory in a spar. Even something as simple as fixing a damaged circuit or patching a hole in his kuta could bring Din satisfaction. There was no harm in taking pride in one's accomplishments, in what Din could do with his hands, with his body. But the only thing Din had accomplished in Fett's room was taking a beating. That's what Fett wanted, though, he thought, flexing his shoulders again just to feel them ache and burn. That's what I wanted, even if I didn't know it. If Din sat up straight and flexed his shoulders hard enough, the pain deepened to the point that he could almost smell Fett in the room with him, could feel the night breeze, hear his own harsh breathing and the crack of the flogger against his shoulders. Everything was tangled up together in Din's memory, a knot of sensations pressed into the back of his ribs, his fingertips. The bruise on his thigh was finally fading. The very heart of it was still blue and sore, but its edges had gone green and yellow somewhere on Boss Pity. By the time Din made it back to Tatooine, it would be almost fully healed. His shoulders would be on their way. Din licked his lips. He was alone, on the fly, unarmored, and a few hours out from Yavin 4 still. Here, in the black of space, he could at least admit to himself the reason he wanted to go back to Tatooine. "I want Fett to hit me again." There was the loyalty Din owed Fett in return for loyalty shown, of course. There was the Beskar sitting in Jabba's treasure rooms, unused and unknown to Din's people. There was even the ease Din had found trading barbs with Fennec and catching Nexu naps on Banth's couch. "But I want Fett to hit me again. To show me." Fett had promised to show Din how to turn pain into a tool. How to use it. How to turn it into strength. "I want that." And while Din was sure that he could find others out in the galaxy who would hit him if he asked, plenty who would do it even if he showed up at their door, there wasn't anyone else he trusted like he trusted Fett. Fett had seen Din on his knees after all, helmetless, armorless, struggling to parse his own reaction to pain. Din couldn't imagine being more vulnerable than that. Fett had already seen him laid that bare. And besides, it wasn't like anyone else was clamoring for Din's attention right now. Kreese seemed content to leave him be. She hadn't calmed or called, and Din had been down on Tatooine for several days now. Kara and Karga didn't need anything out on Nevarro. If anyone from Din's own covert had survived the Imperials, they wouldn't accept his help now anyway, even if Din could figure out how to find them. "Grogu first," Din reminded himself, relaxing his posture, letting the sharp pain in his back fade back to a pleasant background hum. "Then back to Tatooine." The kid came first, even if the kid's problems were Jedi problems that Din had no hope of understanding. He thought of Fett's offer to bring Grogu to Tatooine and let himself smile. The gesture had been... Din didn't want to say sweet, because it had been offered out of utility, not sweetness, but it had certainly been appreciated. If Skywalker thought that the kid was going to grow up to be a monster, Din would take Grogu back. They'd probably have to move around from place to place again, but a hut palace on Tatooine would at least be harder to get into than a hut on Sorgan. Din eyed his pile of Beskar and sighed. His fingers were still cramped and his eyes blurry. He'd cleaned the wiring on his cuirass, his gauntlets, and one of his pauldrons, but the rest would have to wait. Din stood up, joints creaking, and left his Beskar where it was. He checked his course on the fly's nav comp. He was still 6 standard hours out from Yavin 4. There wasn't a straight route between Boss Pity and the Yavin system. Din had wanted to avoid the Hydean way, so it would be a while yet before he had to be up and ready to drop out of hyperspace. Gears more or less taken care of, Din thought, reaching for the earliest lesson instilled by his time in the Corps. Food next, then a sonic, then sleep. He forced himself to choke down half a ration bar. The texture really was awful. And managed a decent sonic without his intermittent vertigo kicking in too dangerously. Sleep was harder to find. Din had slept fine on the Razor Crest, but then he'd had it for years. It had been safe and familiar, even if he'd trained himself to sleep lightly anyway. The fly's berth was comfortable enough. Corellian ships usually were. But Din wasn't familiar with all of the sounds the fly made as she sailed through hyperspace, with the hiss of the life support system starting a new cycle, the drive rattling, the gravity equalizers grumbling and murmuring to themselves. Every strange noise the ship made jarred him awake. He slept fitfully, curled up on his side, watching the blue lights of hyperspace stream past the viewport with half-lidded eyes. Eventually, the navcom pinged, announcing that Din would be reaching his exit window in the next few minutes. He climbed out of the berth and struggled his kutia back on, hooking his armor back up piece by piece, then returned to the pilot's chair for the approach. The fly came out of hyperspace smoothly, without any of the crest's coughs or rattles. Din tried not to hold it against her. Yavin 4, as it grew in Din's viewports, turned out to be a moon. It was green, greener even than Boz Pity had been, and moved in stable orbit around an enormous red planet. Din could see white clouds drifting across Yavin 4's surface, flashes of blue. Din switched his comm channel open, ready to receive orders from anyone down on the moon watching for approaching ships, but no one pinged. Din's nav computer was narrowing in on an exact set of coordinates planet-side, the coordinates Skywalker had given him. No one had commed, so Din hoped that he was welcome, that this wasn't a trap. Din waited in orbit for a few more minutes to see if anyone was going to challenge his approach, but no one did. So after a few more moments of waiting, he nosed the fly down into Yavin 4's atmosphere and began landing protocols. The fly cut through Yavin 4's atmosphere, sinking easily and equalizing to Yavin 4's gravity. As he descended, more of the moon resolved itself. The green was a sprawling, lush jungle, as old and wild as any Kashyyyki forest, and the glimmers of brown and yellow became enormous geometric buildings. Pyramids, Din thought, watching them grow larger and larger. The coordinates he'd been given led to one such pyramid. Its top was completely flat and mostly overgrown, but it was serviceable enough as a landing pad. Din set the fly down and disengaged her engines, still watching the comm for any incoming transmissions. Nothing. He shrugged. These were the coordinates he'd been given. If he was in the wrong place, it wasn't his fault. Skywalker would at least know where to find him, and Din hoped that someone had seen his approach. He opened the fly's plug door and stepped down the ramp, engaging his helmet seal and raising a hand to shield himself from the glare of the sun. He strapped his spear to his back but left the darksaber behind, not wanting it to be mistaken for a stolen or looted Jedi weapon. He brought a blaster, too, to fill the space where the darksaber usually rested. Din wasn't sure what social conventions the Jedi followed, but Din had always been taught that it was rude to show up to a meeting between two different tribes lightly armed. If Skywalker took offense to any of Din's weapons, well, Din had seen what Skywalker had done to those dark troopers. One Mandalorian with a spear and a blaster wouldn't give Skywalker too much trouble. Though if it came to a fight, Din hoped that at least his flamethrower would be a surprise. So, Din thought, stepping out of the shadows of the fly. This is Yavin. He could already feel the humidity licking around the edges of his armor. Unlike Boz Pity, which had been carpeted in low-climbing vines and moss, Yavin 4 was a true jungle. Din was fairly high up on the top of a pyramid, but some of the trees still towered another 50 or 60 feet over his head. Yavin wasn't as hot as Boz Pity or Tatooine, and it wasn't as desolate as Boz Pity either. Din's visor tracked several animals up in the trees, though there wasn't anything up there big enough to worry about. Yavin 4 was entirely alive. The whole planet seemed to hum with it. The landing pad itself was half overgrown and mostly empty. Four or five other pyramids were clustered together near this one, all of varying heights. Din was on one of the lowest pyramids. The tallest stood in the center, and its summit wasn't flat like Din's was, but rather was capped by a large square building made out of the same yellow slabs of stone as the pyramid. Din could make the trip over to that pyramid pretty easily by jetpack, but he wasn't sure he'd be welcome. The fact that Skywalker had sent him to this pyramid specifically, alone and away from anyone else, told Din that the Jedi wasn't entirely comfortable with the idea of Din hanging around. Given that Din had entrusted the kid's safety to Skywalker, Din couldn't complain. Caution was good. Caution would mean fewer bounty hunters getting the drop on Skywalker to the point where Din's kid had to intervene. He leaned back against one of the fly's landing struts, folded his arms across his chest, and settled into wait. Yavin 4 seemed peaceful enough. Din hadn't spotted any settlements or cities as he'd come into orbit, just the large empty pyramids and the endless jungle, a few glimmers of far-off oceans. He hadn't seen any military installations either, at least none that were obvious. The pyramids could probably hide a lot, and Din doubted they were solid all the way through. Maybe there were whole cities on Yavin 4. Din doubted it, though, and was content enough to wait. He didn't have to wait very long. Either someone had seen the fly come down, or there was a sensor on the landing pad somewhere, because Din only had to wait a handful of minutes, head tipped back against the fly, before a figure in black emerged at the far end of the landing pad. Din thought about standing up straight, but decided against it, settling deeper into the fly's support. The pressure sparked dully down his back. The shadows of pain made him think of Fett and his steadiness, his dark eyes. Din pulled comfort from that, even if that hadn't been the point behind the flogging. Din was alone in potentially hostile territory, but, at least, he had an ally somewhere. "Skywalker," Din called, as the robed figure drew closer. Details were hard to see in the visor sometimes, but the height and general shape of the figure approaching matched what Din remembered from the light cruiser. "Jarn," the figure called back.
"Bah!"
a familiar voice shrieked, and then a tiny shape was pushing itself out of Skywalker's arms, floating lightly to the ground. Grogu had already picked up a few new tricks, it seemed, and then rushing for Din's legs at a surprising speed. Despite their weeks apart, it looked like Grogu remembered Din. "There you are, you little womp rat," Din said roughly, relieved despite himself. Grogu remembered him, reaching down to meet the kid's grasping hands. A month or so hadn't changed much. Grogu was still tiny and easy to heft. Din raised the kid up, surreptitiously inspecting him. He looked healthy enough. There were no bumps or bruises Din could see, and the kid's cheeks were round. His eyes were bright. He'd grown another tooth. Grogu warbled happily and reached for Din's helmet, patting its cheeks with enthusiasm. Din very gently tipped his forehead down to meet Grogu's. "Yeah, kid," he murmured, pressing their foreheads together in greeting. "Missed you too. Told you I'd see you again." Grogu cooed. "He's been beside himself with excitement all day," Skywalker said, coming to a stop a good few feet away from Din and Grogu. The Jedi pulled his hood down and smiled at Din. He was young, but there was a solemn quality to Skywalker that made him look older, a weariness carved into the otherwise soft angles of his face. "I think he knew you were on the way." He held the whole crash looking up at the sky. "It's good to see you," Din told the kid. Grogu cooed and patted Din's cheeks again. Tucking Grogu into the crook of his arm, Din looked the Jedi up and down. Luke Skywalker was shorter than Din, sandy-haired, with an open, soft face and clear eyes. He was dressed in the same severe black tunic and pants he'd worn on the light cruiser, the same flowing cloak. Apparently, Yavin's temperature didn't bother him. Din wondered if that was a Jedi thing. A black and silver weapon hung from a clip at Skywalker's waist. "A lightsaber." Skywalker smiled again. Din's visor didn't give him the exact color of Luke's eyes, but Din thought that they were blue. "You made it all right?" he said. "We've been expecting you for a few days. I didn't know where you were when I called you." If Skywalker was nervous or wary at the sight of a warrior in full Beskar, Din couldn't tell. "I like your ship. A Hawk 290, right?" Din blinked, disarmed. Yes, he said. "Corellian?" Din nodded and looked at Grogu, who made a happy, chattering noise and curled one tiny fist around the edge of Din's gauntlet. He was comfortable, at least, not afraid. "Any trouble finding us?" Din shook his head. No trouble." "What is this place?" Skywalker smiled. "This," he said, sweeping a hand out to encompass the cluster of pyramids rising out of the jungle, "is the Jedi Academy." Din blinked. Skywalker caught on to Din's confusion because he dropped his hand, grimaced a little, and scratched the back of his head. "Or it will be eventually. We don't have many students right now. Mostly it's just empty pyramids and old equipment. We, the Rebellion, I mean, used some of these as bases years ago." "Why build a school here?" Din asked. Some of the animals he'd seen up in the trees weren't big enough to bother Din, but they were certainly big enough to think something Grogu's size was a good snack. He'd tried not to tighten his grip on the kid too obviously. Skywalker shrugged. "Why not?" Din narrowed his eyes, sensing an evasion, but Skywalker didn't owe Din any Jedi secrets, and Din didn't particularly care to know any anyway. He had enough secrets tucked away under his Beskar as it was. "Is it safe?" Din ventured. Why, oh, because of the bounty hunter? Skywalker said, nodding. It's pretty safe. The New Republic runs patrols through the sector, and the temples here are pretty remote. That hunter was the first one who showed up here since we started. When did you start? One bounty hunter coming along after 10 years was much different than one bounty hunter after 4 months. 3 years ago, Skywalker said. It took us a bit of time to clean up after Rax and Jakku, but once most of the imps were taken care of, I had the time to start, well, building this. Din nodded, though he didn't put the kid back down, and his eyes stayed narrowed. Grogu didn't mind. He snuggled up to Din's chestplate and kept tapping his claws against the Beskar, giggling at the notes they made. So, Din said, surreptitiously adjusting the kid so he was snug against Din's chest. About Grogu. Skywalker held up an apologetic hand. I know, that's why you came, he said. And we will talk, it's just... I have a lesson. Skywalker continued, tone growing more and more apologetic in the face of Din's expanding silence. The kids... I thought maybe Grogu could show you around first, then once you're comfortable, we can... talk. Din eyed Skywalker through his helmet and shifted Grogu around. It didn't sound like Skywalker thought Grogu too dangerous to be around other beings, so maybe the issue wasn't urgent, as Din had thought. If you and your Jedi don't mind me moving around, Din said, aiming for neutral. It would be good to spend time with Grogu, to make sure that he was really happy with the Jedi, that he was the same kid Din remembered. Skywalker's face relaxed, shoulders dropping. We don't mind, he assured Din. He smiled at Grogu, who gurgled back. Grogu trusts you, and he's a pretty good judge of character. You're welcome here. That pyramid, Skywalker said, pointing to the largest, is the main one we're all living out of. Grogu knows where most things are. My lessons are usually only an hour or so. We don't have too many older students, and the little ones can only handle an hour at a time. All right? Din inclined his head. He wasn't sure that arguing with Skywalker would get him anywhere, and didn't want to ruin things early by trying. Grogu can show me around, he said. Grogu burbled in agreement. Skywalker smiled again. He was much friendlier than Din had expected him to be. He made his apologies again, which Din more or less waved off, then turned and went back the way he'd come. Din let him get far enough away that he couldn't see or hear Din. Din hoped, anyway, given that he still had no idea how Jedi powers worked, and hoisted Grogu out at arm's length, looking the kid up and down. Grogu flapped his arms and gurgled. His ears twitched. You look fine, Din said grudgingly. The Jedi had given Grogu some kind of soft, comfortable clothes to wear, and the clothes were clean and all in one piece. The rest of the kid was just as well cared for. Whatever Skywalker's reservations about Grogu's powers, he hadn't been mistreating him. Din felt a little better at that. He'd wondered, on his most sleepless nights, if letting Grogu go off with a person Din had never met had been the right decision. Grogu had seemed sure. Din had assumed at the time that it was another Jedi thing. And Kara had been able to vouch for Skywalker once Din had managed to stop bleeding into his brain, but still. Din didn't know anything about Jedi, not really. He had no idea what their attitude towards children was. All he knew was that Skywalker had come when Grogu had called, and that Fett believed Jedi and Mandalorians had fought because Jedi wanted to steal children. Skywalker's taken good care of Grogu, Din reassured himself. And he didn't steal him. He asked me if I'd let Grogu go, and I said yes. Letting Grogu go with him was the right decision. Grogu babbled and patted Din's gauntlets. His ears went up and down. He looked after Skywalker, who had disappeared off the other end of the platform by now, and made an inquiring sound. All right, kid, Din said, since he was apparently going to be on Yavin 4 for more than a few hours. He sat Grogu back down. Show me around, then. Grogu understood, or at least understood well enough that he made an agreeable ee noise and started toddling off around the wide lip of the pyramid, down a few stairs toward a wide walkway that linked this pyramid with its nearest neighbor, checking behind him every few steps to make sure that Din was still there. Din smiled. It was good to see the kid again. Din hadn't realized how much he'd liked having the kid around until Gideon had taken him on Tython. Din had... adjusted, again, to not having a child around, but he'd missed the kid fiercely. Grogu led Din across the walkway to the next pyramid, which was a little larger than the first. Din looked around. Skywalker's Academy was very much still in its developing stages. The overgrowth had been cut back some to allow the Academy's inhabitants to get from one place to another, but the jungle was still creeping up over the pyramid stairs and sides, curling around every step and landing. Heaps of scrap, old gear, dilapidated equipment, the evidence of an army forced to make a very sudden move, were piled around the lower levels or shoved into corners. Despite that, though, it was also apparent that the old pyramids were once again someone's home. The pathways cut out of the jungle were tidy, the stones clean. When Din tuned up his auditory sensors, he could hear voices underneath the jungle's chatter. He didn't see another living being until Grogu rounded a corner, toddled up a short set of stairs, and ran headlong into a droid. Grogu clapped a hand to his forehead and shrieked. Din took the steps three at a time, scooping him up and holding him close, and reached for his blaster with his other hand. "Whoa, hey, take it easy. BD, give him some room." Another Jedi came jogging from the opposite end of the path, skidding to a halt in front of the droid. The new Jedi was a human man, probably around Din's age, skinny like Cobb Vanth and armed with a shock of red hair and an old, faded blaster scar creasing his nose and the side of his neck. He had the beginnings of a stubbly red beard and a few streaks of gray at his temples, and he was dressed in a flight suit and a tattered poncho instead of robes like Skywalker. At least, Din assumed the man was a Jedi. The only things that marked him as a Jedi were the lightsaber, this one made out of some sort of very dark gray material with a dramatic, almost pincer-shaped emitter, clipped to his side, and the same sort of solemn serenity set into the creases of the man's face, the slope of his shoulders, that had been hanging around Skywalker, too. Din tucked Grogu close anyway, his thumb resting on his blaster's grip. "Sorry if we startled you," said the new Jedi. He smiled disarmingly and gestured at the droid, which had scrambled to back behind the Jedi's legs and was now, photoreceptors blinking like a human's eyes, studying Din curiously. "This is BD-1. He likes playing with the younglings." Din eyed the little droid warily. It was pretty small, two-legged with a big, squarish head, and didn't see any attachments or hardware that would make it particularly dangerous, but still. He adjusted his hold on Grogu. "I'm Cal," said the Jedi, sticking his hand out. While Din watched, the little droid scrambled nimbly up the Jedi's leg and perched atop one shoulder, its mismatched photoreceptor lenses still clicking and shuddering like a humanoid would blink. "Mando," said Din, deciding to keep his name to himself for now. He gingerly reached out and shook the Jedi's hand. As he did, he caught sight of a faded Scrapper's Guild tattoo half hidden on the Jedi's wrist underneath the leather cuff. Din couldn't see enough of it to pinpoint the origin, but he'd guess Kuat or Braca. Jedi hang around with Scrappers? "You're Grogu's family, right?" Cal asked. "He talks about you a lot. He was excited that you were coming." "He talks?" Din said, letting go. Cal waved a hand. "Sort of. He projects, I guess you'd call it. Through the Force." "Right," said Din, doubtfully. "The Force." Cal laughed. He seemed friendly enough for a Jedi. Just as steady and serene as Skywalker, Din couldn't help but relax around him a little bit. "A lot of younglings learn how to communicate that way," Cal tried to explain. "It's easier, especially when most of the people taking care of you are connected to the Force, too. It's like a two-way comlink." "Oh," Din said. He doubted that he would ever understand, but it was good, at least, that the kid was around people who could understand him. Din had more or less gotten the hang of Grogu's noises, chirps and explosions of temper, but their first few cycles together had been rough, to say the least. "You spend a lot of time with Jedi kids, then?" Cal's face did a strange little twist, halfway between a smile and a grimace. "Not so much anymore," he said. "Though Master Skywalker is doing a pretty good job finding them. But I was a Temple Jedi before the Purge. I was raised there, like Grogu. We were actually in the crash together for a little while, which is kind of weird to think about now." Cal made an exaggerated face at Grogu, who burst into giggles. Din softened despite himself. "Be friendly," he told himself. It was obvious that Grogu liked it here, liked this older Jedi, these people. Din should make an effort to be tolerant, if nothing else. The Jedi are supposed to be peacekeeping monks, he reminded himself. harmless. He decided to purposefully ignore the details of the Jedi being Mandalore's ancient enemies. Din wasn't from Mandalore, and he wasn't a Mandalorian anymore. He didn't have to carry Mandalore's old feuds with him. "It's weird to think he's older than me," Cal continued. "Where'd you find him? One of the Masters must have... well..." He grimaced again. "Must have saved him during the Purge," Cal meant. Din's grip tightened on Grogu. He hadn't really thought about that. That the Jedi had been purged just like the Mandalorians. Grogu's home, this Jedi temple, had been ransacked just like any of the half-dozen covert's Din had passed through. "I found him on a planet called Arvala 7," Din said. He instinctively understood the grief on Cal's face. He'd been... The Bounty Hunters Guild had put out a bounty on him, financed by a remnant moth named Gideon. A bunch of Trandoshans had him. "Was there anyone with him?" Din understood that instinctively, too. Cal was asking after any older Jedi, a peer or a teacher who might have survived. He shook his head. "No," he said. One of the other Jedi we met while looking for Skywalker told me that Grogu had been alone for a long time. I don't know who got him out during the Purge, if it was one of your people or someone else, but they weren't with him on Arvala 7. Cal nodded once, a muscle jumping in his jaw. But whatever he was thinking or feeling, he pushed it aside to give Grogu a big smile. "Well, we're glad you're here now, kiddo," he said. "I'll see you around. Nice to meet you," he added, nodding at Din before he and his little droid ambled off together in the direction of one of the other pyramids. Din watched him for a moment, then looked down at Grogu. "Well, kid," he asked, "any more old friends you want me to meet?" "Patu," said Grogu wisely, and made a motion with his hands. He wanted to be put down. Din obediently set the kid on the ground, and Grogu trundled off at speed, stopping now and then to investigate things. Strange carvings on the pyramid walls, leaves blowing across on the ground, a lizard he tried in vain to catch and eat. Din followed behind, trying not to be too rigid or alert. It was obvious that, despite a run-in with a bounty hunter, Grogu felt comfortable here. It was equally obvious that Skywalker's little base wasn't really a base. It was more like a covert than anything, or the training rooms in the Fighting Corps. There were places to eat and sleep and train, an overgrown but deeply peaceful garden where a gray-skinned humanoid woman with facial tattoos and white hair meditated, another landing pad that housed a battered X-wing and a handful of transports, doors and windows into the pyramid. There weren't too many living beings around, but there were enough. Grogu excitedly introduced Din to a gangly, youngish-looking Wookiee, a pair of identical Zabraks about as tall as Din's knees, a grizzled Wiffed with wicked-looking tusks, and an odd little pack of sentients that included three human children, a Togruta, a Miralyn, a Nautilin, and a very small furry child Din initially mistook for a Tak. Most of the kids greeted Grogu with excitement and swarmed around Din like they weren't bothered by him at all, but the Wookiee eyed him with suspicion and the old Wiffed with open hostility. Din ignored both, keeping his attention on Grogu and the other kids, if only to make sure he didn't accidentally step on one. The Jedi children, younglings, all wore the same kind of modified tunic and pants that Grogu did. The few older Jedi Din saw either wore robes like Skywalker or practical plain clothing like Cal. None of them had armor on. Maybe they didn't need it. Skywalker had either avoided blaster fire or returned it with a few swipes of his lightsaber. "Ah," Grogu said, waving a claw at the pack of younglings, who seemed to understand that Grogu was saying goodbye, and all trundled after the Wiffed with waves and noises of their own. "Those your friends, kid?" Din asked, leaning down. Grogu's ears were drooping. He must have worn himself out, running all over the place. Din held out his arms, and Grogu obliged, letting Din scoop him up and set him safely into the crook of Din's arms. "All right," said Din. "A nap for you, I think. Where do you sleep, kid?" Grogu made a contented sound and tucked his face into Din's chest. Din took that to mean, "Right here, thanks." He smiled behind his helmet. "Noted," he said, and found himself a quiet place to sit on the broad steps of the pyramid, his back supported by the thick stones. Grogu took a short nap there, a hand fisted in Din's cloak. Din let him rest. He wanted to get up and see if he could find Skywalker again. More than an hour had passed, but the kid looked so comfortable that Din hated to think of bothering him. Eventually, Skywalker found him, or at least sent someone to find him. A human woman with shaggy dark hair and rich brown skin trotted up to Din as the sun started to sink behind the jungle's towering trees. Grogu didn't even twitch, so Din just tilted his head back and looked up at her. She favored Skywalker's choice of a tunic and robes. A lightsaber hung at her hip, too. Unlike most of the other older Jedi Din had seen, she greeted Din with a polite smile. "Hello," she said. "You're the Mandalorian, right? I'm Chase." Din dipped his head forward in greeting. "Hello," he said. The noise woke Grogu, who yawned and greeted Chase with a "bah" and a sleepy wave. "Master Skywalker wanted me to come find you," Chase explained. "It's getting late, and he thought you might be hungry. You're welcome to eat with us, if you like. The whole academy eats together when we can. Or you can take something to eat on your ship or in one of the visitors' rooms." Din frowned thoughtfully, stretching and standing. The kid didn't seem to be in any hurry to be put down, so Din kept him in his arms. He probably should eat, even if his appetite had vanished, and Grogu would want something too. The kid ate like an Urukai. "You have visitors' rooms?" Din asked. Chase nodded and started off back up the stairs, moving towards the largest pyramid. "We do," she said. "We get visitors sometimes. The kids' parents, siblings, friends we've made. The New Republic checks in every few months when they remember we're here." Din winced. The fly probably wasn't on any Republic radar, not like the Crest had been, but he would have to make an effort to stay out of sight if any representatives of the New Republic came to visit while he was here. "Am I going to be here a long time?" he wondered, frowning to himself. Skywalker had been not frantic, exactly, over his comm call with Din, but he'd been concerned. Din would have thought that Skywalker would have wanted to get answers out of Din immediately, but so far that hadn't been the case. Din would have to think about that. "We could eat," Din finally said. Chase smiled at him in that polite, faintly distant way. "We take turns cooking," she said. "Grease and Marin had the mash tonight. Dathomiri food, ever had any?" Din didn't know where Dathomir was. He shook his head. "It's kind of spicy, but it's pretty good," said Chase. "And there's meat in it, which should make young Grogu happy, eh, kid?" The kid burbled at Chase, which Din took as a "yes, very happy." He found himself softening towards the Jedi again. It was obvious that the Jedi cared about their kids. They weren't bothered by Grogu's more predatory habits, at least. Chase led Din across another walkway to the largest pyramid, which they climbed together. The mess was at the very top of the pyramid, guarded by a sturdy durasteel door that Chase opened with a wave of her hand. Din watched, interested. "The Force?" he wondered. Inside, the mess was just like any other Din had seen, homey and warm, with mismatched tables crammed together, and what looked like almost every Jedi Din had seen today packed inside, sharing a meal, talking, laughing. "They're not so different from Mandalorians, really," Din thought to himself, setting the kid down when Grogu patted Din's gauntlets impatiently. Once on the ground, Grogu immediately made for a large communal-style table laden with food, being manned by the gray-skinned, tattooed humanoid Din had seen meditating in an overgrown garden earlier, and a short, pot-bellied Lataro. Din kept one eye on Grogu and swept over the room for threats. Unless he counted the Jedi, several of whom were eyeing Din in return, the mess seemed safe enough. Din nodded to himself, satisfied, thanked Chase, and went after Grogu. Din ended up with two plates. One was for Grogu and was almost entirely meat. Din had taken some sort of puffy, doughy-looking bread to go with his meal, a red stew of some sort that had a fair bit of meat mixed with root vegetables and small grains. Din let Grogu decide where to sit. He planned on taking his own meal back to the fly to eat when he was alone, since the thought of taking his helmet off in front of all the Jedi made him dizzy, and helped the kid through his dinner. Other Jedi drifted by from time to time, saying hello to Grogu and eyeing Din, which Din tolerated. He figured the Jedi were allowed to be wary of him. He was glad to see that their reputation as peaceful monks didn't mean that they accepted any stranger who wandered into their midst. He did not, however, see Skywalker. The meal dragged on for a while. Grogu got tired of eating his food and started levitating it instead, which was a new and mildly alarming trick, though Din spied a few of the other kids doing the same thing. "Should I get up and go find him?" Din wondered. The light from the windows faded quickly, darkness falling over Yavin 4. Grogu and several of the other smaller kids began to yawn mightily. Din thought about just scooping Grogu up and taking him with Din back to the fly, but before he could execute the idea, the grizzled Wiffed Jedi loped over, moving with inhuman grace, and loomed over Din. Din looked back up at the Wiffed steadily. Wiffeds were larger and stronger than humans, but they weren't as strong as Wookiees, and they had an unfortunate weakness in their knees. Din probably wouldn't be able to make it out of the mess if he started a fight with a Jedi, but if the Wiffeds started a fight with him, Din wouldn't go down easily. "The younglings are tired," the Wiffed growled, his voice low and deep. He looked down at Grogu pointedly. "This one is used to sleeping in the creche with the others." "Ah," Din thought. "We're posturing now." "He's only been here for a month," Din could say. "He was mine first." But he didn't want to start a fight with one of the kids' teachers, not on the first day here, anyway, and Din could back down and play nice if it meant easing his path later. He didn't usually, but then Din wasn't usually in a room with a bunch of enemy wizards who had all been smart enough or strong enough to survive an Imperial purge. Not enemies, Din reminded himself. If Grogu was going to stay with the Jedi, then the Jedi weren't Din's enemies. He chose to play nice. "I'd hate to upset his routine," Din said blandly. He tweaked one of Grogu's ears. Grogu looked up at him and warbled, sleepy again. "Be good, kid. I'll see you in the morning." The Wiffed snorted. If he was upset that Din had denied him a fight, he didn't show it, which soured Din's enjoyment some. The Wiffed held his arms out for Grogu, who patted Din's gauntlet first, babbling something that sounded sage and wise, then let the Wiffed scoop him up and usher him off with the rest of the youngest kids out of the mess, presumably to wherever they bedded down for the night. Din watched the kid disappear. A knot of anxiety sank through his chest into the bottom of his stomach. "Tomorrow," he told himself. "I'll see him tomorrow, and then I can show him the fly and tell him about Fett and Fennec, about Kara, about everything that he missed while he's been here." Rather than stick around and endure the Jedi's looks any longer, Din collected his plate, now cold, and made his way out of the mess and across a series of walkways back to the pyramid that housed the fly. He nodded politely to the Jedi that had been friendly, Cal and Chase, and didn't drop his guard until he was back aboard the Kerrick fly. Only when he was safe inside, the ramp sealed behind him, did he take off his helmet and eat. Chase had called the Dathomiri food spicy, but it wasn't, really. There was a pleasant heat to it, but Din had eaten hotter. The stew was good, though, whatever it was, and woke his appetite some. He managed most of the plate, including the doughy bread, before he had to push it aside. The fly had her own water cycler, so Din poured himself a glass, drank it, and looked at the viewport at Yavin 4. The jungle was no less busy, even though darkness had fallen. The planet the moon orbited was enormous and red in the sky. Din felt like most of the day had been wasted. While it had been good to see the kid, he didn't like that Skywalker had avoided him. He didn't like the older Jedi and their suspicion, though he could understand it. "This entire trip has taken too long." Din had been gone longer than he thought. Seeing Pyrrha and her people safe on Boz Pity had been the work of days, and it looked like making sure Grogu was safe here would be the same. Din sighed. It was out of his hands. As much as he might want to go prowling through the Jedi Academy and shake answers out of Skywalker, Din doubted that that would help the situation. The best thing to do would be to exercise patience, prove to the Jedi that Din was a reasonable being, if only for a Mandalorian, if only to prove that Grogu had been cared for with Din. "But I hate waiting." He was going to have to find something to do in the morning, especially if Din's instincts were right and Skywalker was trying to avoid him. Din grimaced. He hated being idle. "Maybe Skywalker will be like Fett," he thought, trying to be optimistic as he stripped off the rest of his armor, his kuta, and collapsed into his little berth again, determined to catch a few hours of sleep before he had to face the Jedi again. "Maybe he'll have something I can do to prove that I'm useful, that I can be trusted." Even as Din slipped sideways into a restless sleep, he sort of doubted it. Whatever sleep Din managed to find didn't last long. He woke up a few hours later, drenched in sweat, a dream already fading behind his eyes. In his sleep, he had reached for the nearest weapon and brought it up to defend himself. The darksaber, lit, hummed in his hand. Din stared at it, pulse hammering, disoriented. What was I dreaming about? He wondered. He'd woken up with a weapon in his hand before, usually when some sound or feeling jolted him out of sleep, but reaching for the darksaber was new. Din deactivated the weapon. The blade cut out and the humming stopped. He strained his ears, listening past the tinny ever-present whine, but couldn't hear anything inside or outside the fly that would have startled him awake. Din tossed the darksaber away, letting it clatter into the pile made by Iskuta and Beskar, and flopped back into bed, dragging a hand through his hair. Really do need a trim, he thought, his fingers catching on the curls. If he waited much longer, his hair would start getting caught in his helmet, which was never comfortable. Restlessness padded underneath his skin, pacing through his chest like a vine tiger. Din rolled over, trying to get comfortable enough to fall back asleep, but when he shifted, his belly and side dragged against the thin mattress. An interested spark flickered up his belly. Din's eyes opened again, surprised. He was hard. Din had woken up hard before. He was a humanoid, of course he had. But it hadn't happened in a while. He was older now, more disciplined. He usually just ignored it. But now that he'd noticed it, Din was having a hard time not noticing. Not shivering at the sensation of fabric shifting, nerves twitching with every little shift and adjustment. Din bit his lip. You're not a young warrior jumped up with battle lust anymore, he scolded himself. He was too old to be getting hard in his pants like this. Din curled his hands into fists, fingernails digging crescents into his palms. The bright little nips of pain didn't do anything to ease the tension beginning to coil in Din's belly. No, he told himself sternly. He didn't need this. He'd never needed this, no matter what the other warriors in the covert had said. They'd chased relief with each other in dark corners and under the covers in their bunk rooms. Din had gone in for it a few times when he was younger, mostly just to see what it was like, but he didn't need it. He had never needed it. His cock disagreed. Din swore under his breath and gave in. He slipped a nail-bitten hand underneath the waistband of his sleep pants and took his cock in his hand roughly. The skin was forge-warm and slick at the tip. His cock twitched, a faint pleasure sparking up his spine. Din just held himself for a minute, his grip just tight enough to verge on painful. It didn't do anything to chase away his arousal. I guess I'm doing this, Din thought, irritated, and took his hand back to spit in it before taking himself in hand again, stroking up and down a few times to ease the burn of a dry palm. Din's body came awake slowly, sensations sparking and fading. Sensitivity spread. He could feel cool, recycled air pricking across his arms, the rough, standard-issue sheets scraping the back of his neck, his heels. He could hear his own breath hitch, a contented sound escaping before he could catch it and cage it behind his teeth. The berth wasn't very big, but there was enough room to sprawl out and make himself comfortable. Din shifted, planting his feet on the bed and letting his knees fall open a little to ease some strain in his lower back. The newer position was more open, more vulnerable, but Din was alone. There was no one to hide from. Biting his lip to stifle any more sounds, Din started to stroke himself in earnest. He kept his grip tight, but his pace steady, almost mechanical. He had done this before. He knew the process. A few minutes of steady sensation and pressure, like scratching an itch, and Din could wipe his hand, roll over, and go back to sleep. Easy, he thought, until he shifted again, pressing back into the mattress unintentionally, and jarred his still-healing shoulders. A current jolted through him and punched a gasp out of his throat. His cock jerked. Pleasure burned behind his eyes. What the kark, Din thought, eyes flying open. He was so startled he half sat up, surprised by the building sensation. It wasn't pain, exactly. His shoulders still ached, the bruises deep and sore. But it was more than pain. The muscles in his stomach shivered, a bead of clear fluid welled up at the tip of his cock. The gasp that had torn itself free from Din's mouth made him think of Theron, the first time Din had seen Fett strike someone. The deeper current in Theron's voice. The muted sounds of pain, yes, but sounds of pleasure, too. Arousal swelled up and washed over Din's head like a wave, leaving him dizzy, disoriented, and harder than ever. His grip around himself felt like iron, so tight it should have been painful, but it wasn't. "It feels good," Din thought, dazed. He slowly sank back into his bunk. He couldn't stop himself from pressing down on his shoulders again, slowly but steadily. Pressure built along his shoulder blades through the tense bundle of muscles in his back, but when it reached his spine, his nerves didn't sing with pain. They sang with something else entirely. Din picked his rhythm back up, swiping a thumb over the head of his cock. He grabbed at the sheets with his other hand, fabric scratching his fingertips, but it wasn't enough, wasn't the right kind of sensation. Grabbing at the old bruise on his thigh wasn't satisfying either. Din growled, half frustrated. His grip faltered, his weak hand straining. Din thought of Fett. He couldn't help himself. He thought of the kitchens under the palace, of Fett's weight bearing down. He thought of Fett's hand around his throat. "In for a peget," Din thought, and paused for a moment to settle his left hand against the underside of his chin. He could feel his pulse fluttering against his fingertips. Everything was sensitive. Din's fingertips, his throat, the corners of his jaw. Stubble dragged against his hand. He swallowed and felt the motion push past his hand. Carefully, he closed his fingers. The sensation alone made Din's vision narrow, animal panic kicking in. His pulse thundered. A strangled noise spilled out of his mouth, wet and ragged. His fingernails pricked the soft skin underneath his jaw. Din tried to get back into his rhythm again, but couldn't catch it. Stroking his cock still made pleasure sparkle in his belly, the base of his spine. But his body couldn't move past the fear, the instinct to thrash and fight. Din let go of his throat, and the feeling eased. "Okay," he thought, panting. "That's not it." But maybe pain was what he wanted. Needed. He stopped stroking himself again, just held his aching dick, and shifted a bit, rolling his shoulders. That felt good. Heavy and solid. Deep. It felt like someone was with Din, pushing him into the berth's thin mattress. Din groaned quietly. His body wanted him to think of scars and big hands, dark eyes, a warm chuckle. But that made fear yawn in Din's chest, a deep, dark ravine. He needed to think of something else. Anything else. On instinct, Din grabbed at his left leg, at the smooth, unmarked skin of his thigh. He dug in with all his strength. Pain flared, bright and sweet, sharp as teeth, and it was enough. Din came in his hand with a muffled cry. He lay there, panting, hand wet, cock softening, and blinked the stars out of his eyes. He let go of his thigh. The tiny cuts he'd made with his fingernails stung, and a shiver of pleasure, almost too much to think about, twitched through him. "What the cark?" Din repeated to himself, though the thought was muzzy now, wrapped in layers of contented pleasure. "Was that?" He made himself climb out of the berth and change pants, uninterested in waking up to find himself sticky, then collapsed back into bed and curled up against the wall. His body felt loose, open, relaxed. Din was too tired to want to think about it. He tugged his blankets back up over his shoulders and fell asleep thinking of hands and bruises. And this time he didn't dream. Din woke up to what sounded like a very large bird smacking into the side of a ship. He startled awake, scrambling for a weapon, and lurched out of his berth, but whatever had crashed into the ship had apparently righted itself and flown off. Dawn had come and gone. Din had slept longer than he'd meant to. The academy was already up and buzzing. Din had vague memories of school starting with the sun, of early mornings and hot tea and lessons. But Din would probably be able to find his way around and track down either Grogu or Skywalker without too much trouble. He ignored the discarded pair of sleep pants on the floor and the tiny scabs on his thigh. Night activities, Din had always been taught, had no bearing on the business of the day. He dressed and armored up, eating the last bit of the Dathomir stew from dinner for the first meal, then hesitated before lowering the ramp and stepping back down onto Yavin 4. "The older Jedi were uncomfortable around me," Din thought. Usually he wouldn't care. The point of going around in full armor was to remind everyone who saw Din that Din was a warrior, that he was strong and fierce and not to be tangled with. The Jedi should be wary. But these are Grogu's teachers, his elite, his family. Until Skywalker gave Din a reason to take Grogu away, Din wanted Grogu here. Ahsoka Tano's warning kept ringing in his ears. It was too late to keep Grogu from using his powers. He wouldn't just forget about them. He needed to be trained. Skywalker is the only Jedi so far who's been willing to train him. The kid would need to stay here, which meant that Din needed to play nice. He needed the Jedi to tolerate him, at least. With that in mind, he stripped off his most obvious weapons and stowed them away. He left his spear and his blaster behind, his boot knives, the larger knife he carried against his thigh. He kept the vibro knives stowed in his belt, and the smallest knives, which were tucked into the sleeves of his kuta, and he kept the darksaber. Din arranged his cloak so its folds covered it. He didn't need the Jedi to see it, but he did want to have at least a few weapons on him, just in case. There was a line between setting the Jedi at ease and finding himself facing an enemy woefully unprepared. Din missed the weight of his spear as soon as he stepped out of the fly. He'd gotten used to carrying it around. But he'd made his decision, so he made himself close the fly back up and made his way back down the walkway and over to the main pyramid. None of the youngest kids were anywhere to be seen, including Grogu. Din passed the gray-skinned humanoid again. Marin, or Grease, though he was pretty sure that Grease had been the Lotero, meditating in the same overgrown garden out of the side of the pyramid. He passed another Jedi, this one a human man with graying black hair, who gave Din what could be considered a polite nod. Din began to climb the main pyramid, wandering around each wide level to see what was around. Halfway around the back, he found another walkway and took it. This one led to another pyramid, about the size of Din's, its top flat and occupied by several Jedi. Din didn't cross, remembering the Wiffet's hostility, but he watched, curious. It's a lightsaber lesson, Din realized. Everyone on the platform had a lightsaber ignited, standing in loose rank and file in front of the Wiffet, whose lightsaber was green. Din was actually surprised at the range and color of lightsabers. He'd thought that they'd only come in white, like Tano's, or black, like the darksaber. But the Jedi training had blue and green lightsabers, yellow, orange, even one that was purple. Din watched them train, fascinated. The Wiffet was good. The way he moved with the lightsaber was easy and graceful, the lit weapon an extension of his hand. The kids were a bit less graceful. None of the very youngest children, Grogu included, were present at the lesson. Most of the Wiffet students were older kids, roughly the age a foundling would be when they first wore the creed, but a few were adults, and all of the students weren't nearly as practiced with the lightsaber as the Wiffet seemed to be. It's not Parkad, Din thought, leaning back against the wall to watch with interest. Parkad was forward and aggressive, like most Mandalorian styles of fighting. The way the Jedi moved was almost liquid, almost alive. Din figured out the pattern of the lesson quickly. The Wiffet would demonstrate a series of moves, 3 or 4 steps long, then he would step back and watch his students as they repeated what he had shown them. The Wiffet would move among them, correcting stances and demonstrating a set of moves again as needed, and then, when he was confident that all his students had learned the pattern, he would teach them a new one. Din's fingers twitched. He had the darksaber with him. It wouldn't be hard to draw it and follow along. Din had never learned Parkad or lightsaber combat before, but he could always try. The Wiffet was telegraphing his moves clearly enough that Din could pick them up. Out of all the Jedi here, though, the Wiffet was the most displeased to see Din. Din didn't know why. For all he knew, the Wiffet had fought Mandalorians before, but he didn't want to get too close to any of those lit blades and find out why. Din contented himself with watching intently, filing away patterns and sets of moves. He could try some later if he wanted. Some of them would even work with the Beskar spear. Skywalker found him, still watching the lesson, sometime later. The Wiffet had finished the basic 3 and 4 move sets now and was working through longer, more complicated series. It was harder to keep up with these sets than it had been for the basics. Din had given the Wiffet most of his attention. "Enjoying yourself?" Skywalker asked lightly, approaching from the side. He didn't have the kid with him, so Din assumed that Grogu was still in his lessons. "It's interesting," said Din, sliding around the question. "I've never seen fighting quite like it before." "It's not very common anymore," Skywalker said. Din nodded. He understood. "I like to jump in and learn from Kukurk, too, when I have time," Skywalker continued, watching the lightsaber practice, too. "Kukurk must be the Wifed. He's very good." Din nodded again. He didn't know anything about lightsaber combat, but he knew a skilled warrior when he saw one, and Kukurk was very skilled. "Well," said Skywalker, still watching, "I'm off to take care of a few things, but if you need anything else..." "Wait," said Din, turning around with a frown. "You're going somewhere?" Skywalker nodded, his expression shifting for a moment before returning to its open serenity. "I am," he said, "unless you needed something." Din folded his arms across his chest. "You know why I'm here," he said. "You know what I need." He shook his head. He didn't understand. What had been the point of bringing Din out here if Skywalker was going to run around and avoid Din? "I do," said Skywalker earnestly. "And I appreciate you coming out here to help. It's just... this isn't really a good time." "It's not a good time," Din returned, tone flat. Skywalker winced. "That's not exactly what I meant," he said, tracking back. "There's been a few things that have come up, is all. I've got to... well..." He was dancing around something that he didn't want to share. Jedi business, most likely, or New Republic business that he wouldn't share with an outsider. Despite that, Din scowled. "When will you have time, then?" Din asked. "If you're worried about Grogu..." "I'm not worried about Grogu immediately," Luke assured Din, trying to smile and put him at ease. Din couldn't help but bristle at that. He hadn't come here to be condescended to by a Jedi who barely looked old enough to shave, regardless of whether or not that Jedi was apparently one of the most powerful people in the galaxy. "I have some other responsibilities," Skywalker continued. "But we can talk this evening, before dinner?" The prospect of spending another day doing nothing but polishing his armor made Din feel twitchy and trapped, but he nodded anyway. He didn't see another option, not if he wanted to maintain a decent relationship with the Jedi. "Fine," Din said, "before dinner." Skywalker grimaced apologetically. "Thanks," he said. "You can... there's some holos in the archives that might be interesting, or I can find you on your ship." Din snorted. He wasn't going to read all day, that was for sure. "You have anything that needs fixing?" he asked seriously. "I'm a passable mechanic. I can hunt if you need food." "You're our guest," Skywalker protested. "You don't need to do anything." "I am a terrible guest," Din said flatly. "And I'm making some of your Jedi nervous. If I'm out of the way doing something, everybody will be happy." Skywalker balked again, but Din could see that he was grateful that Din was making an effort to put the other Jedi around at ease. Din spread his hands. "The kid's got lessons now, right?" Skywalker nodded. "So put me to work," Din said. "What needs doing?" Skywalker winced, though his grateful expression didn't fade. "What doesn't?" That was how Din found himself working his way through the depths of the main pyramid, vibroblade in hand, hacking his way through what felt like 1,000 years of undergrowth. Yavin 4, Skywalker had explained, was alive. Its jungles never stopped growing, and its original inhabitants had let the trees and vines grow as they would, even through the temples. The overgrowth didn't bother the Jedi over much, but after being attacked by that bounty hunter, Skywalker was determined to build safe rooms and escape points in the depths of the pyramid so that if the Jedi were ever attacked, they could at least get the children to safety. Din approved, so he didn't mind clearing out old vines. He was less thrilled by the creatures that apparently made the gloom their home, but none of them bothered him except to startle out of their nests when Din got too close, fleeing deeper into the temple. It was almost peaceful in its way. Methodical cuts, wrestling with the vines, dragging debris to the mouth of the tunneled hall. A few hours in, Din's muscles started to ache and burn, sweat gathering underneath his armor, but he didn't mind that either. The exertion was good, mindless. Din didn't have to think about anything, he just had to work. A strange sort of peace settled over him. He pushed past the burn in his back and shoulders. He didn't have to think. He didn't have to worry about Grogu or the Force or the dark side or any other Jedi nonsense. The deeper Din pushed into the pyramid, the thicker and wilder the vines grew. Eventually, his vibroblade couldn't handle the job, and Din had to step back, exhausted and sweaty. He took his helmet off to take a drink and survey his progress. He'd cleared a good stretch of the long, dark hall, though there was still an indeterminate stretch to go. The walls, now that some of them were cleared of vines, were detailed and ornate, carved with time-worn images. Din had no idea what any of the carvings meant or said, but they were interesting enough. Grogu would probably like them. Din surveyed the rest of the tangled vines and considered his options. He could go back up to the academy and try and find something with a little more power. He could bring out the flamethrower and burn his way through. Or, he thought, remembering the lightsaber lesson he'd watched, I can try something else. Din unclipped the darksaber from his hip. He ignited it. Down here in the dark, it was bright and vivid, the plasma blade snapping and snarling like a live wire. Din took a few practice swings, trying to mimic the Wyfid's movements. The darksaber was awkward in his hand. But it would cut well enough, so Din put aside the lesson he'd watched and got to work. The darksaber wasn't as familiar in his hand as his vibroblade, but Din fell back into that quiet, steady space easily enough. Even the thicker vines gave way after a few seconds of heat, the darksaber burning through what it couldn't cut. Din didn't bother to put his helmet back on. The deeper he moved into the temple, the more vines he dragged out of the way, the warmer it got. He would need to stop soon or risk keeling over from exhaustion. Just a little more, he told himself, determined to do the job well. Just a little more. He was so focused on his task that he didn't hear anyone approach until there were footsteps right behind him and a voice spoke, startling Din. "Where'd you find that?" Skywalker asked. Din whirled around, bringing the darksaber up instinctively. He met Skywalker's eyes and felt his own widen with shock. "Is that a lightsaber?" Skywalker asked, inching closer. His hair turned silver under the darksaber's glow. "Where did you get it?" "No," said Din. His grip tightened on the darksaber's hilt, and he didn't know why. I don't think it's a lightsaber anyway. It's not a Jedi weapon. It's ours," he almost said, but bit his tongue. "Mandalorian." Din looked past Skywalker. His helmet was 50 feet away atop a pile of discarded vines. "Can I see it?" Skywalker asked. Din wrestled with the urge to punch Skywalker and bolt. Skywalker had already seen Din's face. "He's teaching Grogu. He's not my enemy." Din swallowed, carefully fixing his gaze just to the left of Skywalker's eyes, and reluctantly deactivated the blade and handed it over. "It's sort of built like a lightsaber," Skywalker noted, turning the darksaber over in his hands. "Emitter, switch, that's all there, but you're right, it's not a Jedi weapon." Skywalker shifted the darksaber over to one hand and used the other to reach down to his hip, unclipping his own lightsaber and bringing it up to show side by side. The lightsaber was cylindrical, made to fit comfortably in the hand. Its emitter was circular, and its blade, when Skywalker pointed it up at the ceiling and ignited it, was bright green. The blade, too, was shaped differently than the darksaber's. Where the darksaber's plasma blade looked more like a traditional cod with a point that curved and one cutting edge, the lightsaber had a tapered point and looked more like a double-edged oricod which could cut from either side. Skywalker ignited the darksaber, too. The notes of both weapons, a steady hum from the lightsaber, the plasma evenly regulated, and a higher crackling pitch from the darksaber, vibrated against Din's Beskar. "Were there Mandalorian Jedi?" Skywalker asked. He was watching the weapon's blades, transfixed. Din shrugged, desperately uncomfortable and not sure how to get himself out of the conversation. "I don't know," he admitted. I was told that Mandalorians and Jedi were ancient enemies. Would a Mandalorian Jedi even be possible?" "Anything is possible," Skywalker said, extinguishing both blades. He handed the Darksaber back to Din, who took it. Mandalorians are human, right? Some, said Din. But not all. Annika was a Zebrak. There were Twi'lek Mandalorians in other coverts. Covering Leku and Beskar was a challenge, and Din was pretty sure that his own Alor was a Zebrak too, though he'd never seen any part of her unarmored. She'd forged the same spikes into Annika's helmet that she'd had in her own. Paz was Pantoran. Humanoid, though. Din nodded. Just about anyone can be Force-sensitive, regardless of species, Skywalker explained. It comes up a lot in humans, I don't know why, but plenty of other species can have it too. Anyone could be a Jedi. Master Yoda, my teacher, told me that during the days of the Republic, the Jedi Council had been made up of everyone from humans and Mirlans to Togruta and Kaldor. Din tilted his head, thinking of Tano and Grogu. Then maybe there were Mandalorian Jedi before we were enemies, Din said, looking at the Darksaber. Its hilt was formed so close to Akkad that Din couldn't imagine an Arwëti building it. Are we enemies? Skywalker asked lightly. Din blinked. No, he allowed. Whatever the relationship between Mandalorians and Jedi had been, Din wasn't interested in carrying that with him. He needed Grogu to have a safe place to grow up and learn to use the Force, which meant that Din now had a vested interest in keeping Skywalker and his students safe. I'm not your enemy anyway. I can't speak for all Mandalorians. For any Mandalorians, really. He thought of Fett's voice when he'd told Din that a Jedi had killed his father. You're the first Mandalorian I've ever met, so I'm not too concerned about the others, Skywalker said, smiling a little. I won't tell them where to find you, Din said. My covert didn't even know what Jedi were. I'd never heard of Mandalorians either. When I saw you on the light cruiser in your armor, I thought you were someone else. I didn't realize that you all wore the same kind of armor. He thought I was Fett, Din realized. He hit a wince. He should probably tell Skywalker that Din knew Fett, was working for him, considered Fett an ally. But he had just told Skywalker that Din was no enemy of the Jedi. Fett and Skywalker were enemies. My allies are none of Skywalker's business. Din would keep it to himself for now, just like Skywalker was keeping his own business private. It's called Beskar, Din said, gesturing to his armor. We all Mandalorians have at least some. Helmets, at least. He glanced at his own helmet, still feeling exposed. Skywalker nodded. Beskar, he repeated. Are there a lot of you, Mandalorians? Din shook his head. No, he said. There's not many Jedi left, either. Skywalker looked around at the ruins of the pyramid. I'd hoped that more would come out of hiding now that the Empire's gone, but... The Empire's not really gone, Din pointed out quietly. Skywalker opened his mouth to argue, then closed it again. He and Din had met on an Imperial ship, after all. Skywalker had come to rescue Grogu from Imperials. Yeah, he finally said, mouth pulling down. That's true. Din felt abruptly like he'd kicked a Masif puppy. He frowned. He shouldn't need to tell Skywalker that the Empire was still around, especially in the Outer Rim. The New Republic was wrestling more and more of the galaxy under its control, but the Empire still made plenty of noise. You think the Empire will be a problem for you? Din asked neutrally, already planning out ways to help fortify the temple, to hide it. He hadn't gone to all of this trouble, a literal standard year's worth, to have Grogu snatched back by the Empire just because Skywalker underestimated the threat that they posed. No, Skywalker said, shaking his head. He must have caught on to Din's disbelief because he grimaced and amended. Not because I'm a Jedi. There's still a bounty on me, but it's because I was part of the rebellion. The Empire ended the Great Jedi Purge just before we destroyed the Death Star. No one is hunting Jedi anymore. Darth Vader, he was the only Jedi hunter left, and he's dead. You're sure? Din asked. Skywalker nodded, mouth still pulling down. Din had to bodily resist the urge to comfort the kid. Something about Skywalker broadcasted a sorrow so deep Din could almost taste it, like blood in the mouth, hot and sharp with iron. "I was there," Skywalker said. "I saw his body burn." Skywalker killed the Emperor, Din reminded himself. Skywalker didn't look like much head-on, but Din had to remember the ease with which he had destroyed the Dark Troopers. This was the pilot who had blown up the Death Star. This was the hero of the Rebellion. He didn't need Din's sideways comfort. "And there's no one else who's got an interest in Jedi, not even people like Moff Gideon." "I had Leia, my sister. She's part of the New Republic government. Look into that," said Skywalker, pulling himself out of whatever old grief he'd been sitting in. Whatever Gideon was working on, his Dark Trooper project, doesn't have any records she could find, and she's a good slicer. She thinks his project was off the books, unsanctioned. The Emperor, he was Force-sensitive, too, Skywalker explained. Din paled. He knew a little bit more about what that meant now, what a Force-sensitive person could do. That's part of the reason why he had the Jedi purged. He didn't want other Force-sensitives around to challenge his power. "But he let Vader live," said Din. Vader answered to Palpatine, and only to Palpatine. Skywalker's tone was dark enough to shudder further comment. Din just nodded. He felt the edges of a deeper, more frightening conversation creeping around the edges of the tunnel. It breathed. Skywalker felt it too, because he grimaced and said, "You think I've been avoiding you, don't you?" Din folded his arms across his chest and wished that his helmet was closer. "You calmed me for a reason," he said, as evenly as he could manage. "We have yet to talk about that reason, despite the fact I've been here for a few days." Skywalker nodded. "I did calm you for a reason," he allowed. "Come on, then. This isn't a conversation to have down here. Want to go see Grogu? He'll be out of his crash lessons." Having the kid around would give Din a buffer, and the conversation he'd be having with Skywalker concerned Grogu's future. Even if Grogu didn't understand it all, he should be there. Din nodded. "Come on, then," said Skywalker. "The crash is up near the top. Thought the kids would like to see sunlight, but it's not far." Din followed Skywalker back out of the cleared tunnel-like hall, pausing only to scoop up his helmet and fit it back over his head, though he didn't re-engage the seal. He wanted to have this conversation with Skywalker face-to-face. He wanted Skywalker to see his eyes. Din had never felt that way before and was a bit jarred by it, but Skywalker had seen his face twice now, and Skywalker was young, earnest. If Skywalker could see Din's face, maybe he'd understand better. Maybe he'd be able to see what the kid meant to Din, and what Din would do for him. The pyramid was mostly quiet as they made their way back up to the more livable levels. The lift was still out. Din saw one of the older Jedi, the shaggy-haired human woman who'd brought him to the mess yesterday, elbows deep in some wiring, goggles pulled over her eyes, and sparks flying everywhere. So Din and Skywalker took the stairs. Din, already exhausted from his restless week, felt the ache building in his knees, his hip, but he pushed past it. Skywalker didn't seem bothered by the climb at all. Youth, thought Din irritably. The crash was at the top of the pyramid, just below the mess, and window ports had been carved out of the walls to let Yavin 4's bright sunshine in. The younglings were being tended to by the Wifed Jedi Kukruk, Grogu included. When Grogu saw Din and Skywalker enter the crash, he shrieked happily and abandoned his playmates, trundling over to Din, holding his arms out, demanding. Din smiled and lifted the kid, settling him in his preferred spot in the crook of his arm. "Master Kukruk," Skywalker said warmly. "Younglings." "Good afternoon, Master Skywalker," the younglings chanted with enthusiasm. Grogu couldn't speak basic yet, but he said, "Garu," along with the rest. Din's smile widened. The Jedi kids were pretty cute, if he was being honest. Din hadn't been involved much in the training of foundlings, but he'd always liked spending time with them. He couldn't imagine that Jedi children were that much different than Mandalorian ones, despite the magic powers. Skywalker said his goodbyes to the Wifed and the kids, then ushered Din out of the crash and down the hall to a spare, sparsely decorated room. It was someone's sleeping quarters. There was a simple bed, a pile of data pads on a desk in the corner, a scattering of small bits of machinery, a spare robe hanging on the wall. A small window port looked out over the rest of the academy complex, the jungle visible past the pyramid's yellow flanks. Skywalker sat down on the bed and gestured for Din to sit at the desk.
Oh, Din realized. This is his room.
Din sat where he was pointed, settling Grogu in his lap, and looked at Skywalker. Before he could talk himself out of it, he hooked a hand under his helmet and pulled it off, setting it on the desk. Grogu craned his head up and cooed, apparently delighted. Din met Skywalker's eyes.
So, he said.
The apprehension from the bottom of the temple had followed them up here, had crowded this sunny little room.
That conversation.
Skywalker nodded, leaning forward on his elbows.
Before we get to that, he said slowly, I'd like to get some things laid out right in my head. Can you tell me about what Grogu's life was like with you?
Loud, Din wanted to say. Chaotic. Not very safe, but I did my best.
He swallowed.
Where do you want me to start? He asked.
Skywalker cocked his head.
From the beginning, he said. How did you find Grogu?
So, Din told him.
He started with Arvala 7 and took Skywalker through the first days he'd spent with the kid, the Jawas, the Mudhorn, rebuilding the Razor Crest and returning to Navarro. He told Skywalker about the client and Pershing, about going back for Grogu and the covert's aid, about Sorgan and Tatooine and drifting from safe port to safe port, the mess aboard the New Republic prison ship and going back to Navarro to put down the remnants there, Gideon's arrival, Grogu saving them all from the flames. It wasn't like all Grogu could do with the Force was hurt or kill. He had healed Karga and Navarro and had held back the fire so they all could escape. He liked to float bolts and knobs around and use the Force to steal snacks more often than he used it to hurt people.
But he has seen violence, Skywalker said sadly, as Din finished covering his search for the other Mandalorians and the Jedi, carefully omitting both Fett and Ahsoka Tano from the story, and fell silent.
Din's throat was hoarse and scratchy. He didn't like talking so much. This hadn't been like sharing stories with the children of Mos Pelgo. Din wouldn't call this an interrogation, necessarily, but it hadn't been fun, either.
Grogu, mostly asleep, gnawed comfortingly on the corner of Din's cloak.
Of course he has, Din said. The galaxy is violent. He's been hunted for almost as long as he's been alive.
Skywalker tipped his head, conceding the point.
Thank you, he said, recognizing that the story was over.
That helps me put some things in order, at least.
Arvala 7 is a desert planet, isn't it?
Din nodded.
I was getting his memories of Arvala 7 confused with what he remembers of Tatooine, Skywalker explained. I'm from Tatooine, you know. I thought that it was odd he spent so much time there, but it turns out he hasn't.
He was on Arvala 7 for a while?
Years, Skywalker said. The Trandoshans weren't his first keepers. They came later, after the Imperial remnants put a bounty on him.
Do you know how Moff Gideon learned about him?
Din shook his head.
I can guess, he said. Gideon was ISB. That's how he knew who I was. My name was recorded in the rosters on Mandalore, and Gideon was part of its
purge. You think he had access to Jedi data?
Din shrugged.
He didn't know what sort of records the Jedi had kept, but if the Grand Army of the Republic had sacked its hub on Coruscant, the Empire had had access to Jedi records for decades.
That's a question for your other Temple Jedi, he said, thinking of Cal. But that's what makes sense to me. Do you know if the Empire kept track of the Jedi it killed?
I know that the Inquisitors, a group of Force-sensitive Jedi hunters, tracked the Masters and full knights they killed, but I don't know about the Padawans or the Younglings.
The what?
Skywalker smiled faintly.
Padawan, he said.
It's the old word for a Jedi apprentice. They had several ranks. Initiate, that's a youngling. Padawan, knight, master, grandmaster. So Grogu is an initiate, Bin thought, looking down at the kid. Or he was under the Republic. Skywalker hadn't said yet if he was planning to keep the old Jedi ranks. The Inquisitors are all dead, Skywalker continued. The last died before the Battle of Yavin. It was just Vader and the Emperor left after that. So, I don't know. Maybe Gideon had a list. He's in New Republic custody, Din pointed out. You could probably ask him, but I'd be careful letting him know too much. Skywalker grimaced. Sound advice, he muttered. He looked down at Grogu, too, and sighed. It's not that I'm convinced that he's going to be evil, you know, Skywalker said. I know that the kind of life I had growing up, safe and looked after, isn't common for Jedi these days. Din cocked his head. You weren't touched by the Purge? Skywalker shook his head. Not really, he said. The Purge took my mother and father, but another Jedi, a friend of my father's, knew where to find my father's family on Tatooine and took me there. My aunt and uncle raised me. I didn't know anything about Jedi until the war landed right in front of me and I met old Ben properly. Din frowned. That name was familiar, but he didn't know why. Most of the other Jedi here weren't as lucky, Skywalker said. They've been in hiding for years, or fighting in the rebellion under secret names. So I understand that it hasn't been easy for Grogu. But for a Jedi to jump to such violence, it's dangerous. Explain, said Din, still frowning. For a Mandalorian, killing is sometimes necessary. Defending oneself and one's tribe is good. An enemy that's dead is an enemy that can't pursue you or bring you more grief. Mandalorians aren't Force-sensitive, though, said Skywalker gently. He frowned and amended his words with, At least, I can't find any records of any. Kukruk, the Wifid, one of the few masters we have here, said that he had never heard of any Force-sensitive Mandalorians, at least not in living memory. You're very skilled warriors, I'm told, Skywalker added hastily, like he was worried he had offended Din. But for a trained Jedi, the damage we can do is enormous. The Force grants us many powers, but also many responsibilities. Din looked at him steadily. You mentioned a dark side over the comm, he said. What is that, exactly? Can a Jedi be dark? I was told that you were peacekeepers before the Clone Wars. The Jedi were supposed to be, said Skywalker. And yes, being able to touch the Force doesn't mean that someone is automatically good. The Force isn't good or evil, necessarily. It just is. But it can be used for good or for evil. What we call the dark side is less a state of the Force and more like shortcuts. Techniques that offer quick and easy access to power, but corrupt the user. Din nodded. He could understand that. He had seen enough despots and crime lords go mad with their own inflated sense of power, had heard rumors of Allore who'd grown too proud and torn their coverts apart through greed or hubris. He supposed that it made sense that a Jedi could be the same. The kid's not like that, though. Grogu was a good kid. He was just practical and scared. Just teach him not to do that, Din said. To use the dark side, or whatever it's called. He's a smart kid. He learns. Skywalker dipped his head. He does learn, he agreed. Something about his tone made Din's hackles rise, defensiveness bridling in his chest. But before he could open his mouth and get into it with Skywalker, the Jedi held up a hand. I did talk with some of the others after the bounty hunter, Skywalker said. He looked a bit sheepish now. I may have overreacted, it seems. Kukruk says it's common for younglings to touch the dark side without meaning to, It's tied into emotion, and it takes a while to learn to control all of that while you're touching the Force. Din's forehead creased. Of course Grogu had gotten upset. His teacher had been attacked. And from what Din had seen wandering around the pyramids, Grogu liked this place, these people. I haven't spent a lot of time around kids, Skywalker explained, rubbing the back of his neck. The only one's my nephew, and he's only 4. So this has been an adjustment for me as well as Grogu. So you're not worried he's going to end up dark? Din asked, just to check. He thought of Fett's offer. The fly had plenty of fuel. Din could take Grogu and be gone. Not any more than I am about any of the other kids, Skywalker said. He scratched his chin, still sheepish. I've seen what the dark side does to a Jedi firsthand, is all. Han says I'm being too sensitive. Din frowned again. Han Solo, he asked. Skywalker blinked. Yeah, you know him? I know of him, said Din darkly, thinking about Fett's scars. Skywalker winced. Oh, yeah, you are a bounty hunter, aren't you? Din nodded. You don't work for the Hutts, do you? No, said Din, skirting the issue of Fett again. I worked through the Bounty Hunters Guild. Haven't been doing much bounty work lately. Taking care of the kid and managing bounties at the same time wasn't very productive on either front. That made Skywalker smile again. Yeah, I'm figuring that out for myself, he said. I didn't realize how much time would be involved running a school. Makes me feel bad for the teachers I ignored when I was a kid. Fair, Din allowed. He forced himself to let go of some of his tension, letting it bleed away. Skywalker wasn't going to cast Grogu out, or worse. It sounded like Skywalker was wise enough, if young. He'd encountered a problem and had gone to his elders, which was right. It didn't sound like Jedi had Alore, but Skywalker had gone to the closest thing he had for guidance. Din approved. So, no, I don't think Grogu's going to become a Sith Lord, Skywalker said, tone lightening. I really did mostly just want to talk to you about what happened to Grogu. It helps to be able to put some of his memories in order and in context. And I wanted to... Well... Din raised an eyebrow. Well, what? He asked suspiciously. Skywalker chuckled. The old Jedi Order wasn't perfect, he said. They didn't believe in letting younglings grow up with their families. They preached against detachments. Din remembered Tano on Corvus. He's strongly attached to you, she'd said, and she hadn't said it like it was a good thing. Din tucked Grogu against his side pointedly. Skywalker noticed. I'd be a hypocrite if I said that I believed the same thing, he promised. I love my family, my friends. Attachment isn't an evil or a burden to get over. Grogu's not better or worse for loving you. It just is. Like the Force, Din thought. But he must have said it out loud, because Skywalker nodded, a pleased little smile taking a few years off his face, and said, exactly. Skywalker ran his gloved hand through his hair. A lot of what the Empire said about the Jedi was propaganda, he said. But still, I don't want to take kids from their families. We, frankly, don't have the resources. And I don't want the Jedi to be a ghost story. A threat, you know? That was how the Emperor turned the galaxy against us. No one knew what the Jedi really were, so it was easy for the Emperor to make us something we weren't. I don't want families to hide their kids from us because they're afraid that we'll take them forever. It's important to teach younglings how to use the Force safely, but I'm not interested in making anyone be a Jedi. So what are you saying? Din asked, still wary. Skywalker spread his hands. That you don't have to stay away, I guess, he said. That Grogu loves you and he's happy when you're around. I know you're not a Jedi and that Mandalorians and Jedi might not have gotten along, but for Grogu... He's saying that it's okay if I stick around, Din realized. That I can come visit. He relaxed. I think, Din began carefully, that Grogu is safe here. He likes being here, and it's important for him to learn how to control his powers, isn't it? Skywalker nodded. Din looked down at the kid, who had well and truly fallen asleep now, snuggled up against Din's side. So I want him to stay, Din finally said. He looked at Skywalker. He felt entirely naked without the helmet on, but maybe that was for the best in this situation. But if it's okay that I visit now and then, I'd like that too, if it won't scare the other kids. Skywalker beamed. They'll get used to you, he promised. And the older Jedi, too. We don't get many outsiders here, but Grogu will keep everyone in line, even Kukurk. Din probably should ask about why the Wifed Jedi was so hostile, but he honestly didn't care. He was relieved. Grogu was going to be safe here. Din was going to get to see him, to help him grow up. I won't cause Kukurk any trouble, Din said softly. Din settled Grogu more comfortably against his chest. Skywalker might come to regret that offer, might change his mind. But for now, Din didn't have anywhere else he needed to be.